What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Ari, here.
This is Christina Williams.
It's Dawn Staley.
I'm Miles Ehrlich.
It's your girl, Jasmine Baker, here.
And you're listening to About That.
About That.
About That.
About That.
So you know you gotta stay locked into About That with your boy, B. Terrell. Deuces. I'm sorry, no sorry. Nobody
but don't act crazy. What's up, everybody? This is your boy, B. Terrell, and you are listening to About That. Thank you for tuning in to another week of my shenanigans. I am so excited. You know you got to make those noises sometimes when you have a brain fart and you don't really know what it is that you want to say. But yeah, that's all. I'm very excited. First of all, let me just start by saying I was able to save my money because, as some of you all have proudly let me know, I was wrong in my picks of the four teams to make the Final Four, and I stand on that. I accept that. So hey, guess what? I got it wrong, but I also got a chance to keep my money. So I don't even know where I was gonna buy y'all food from anyway. But if you're wondering what I'm talking about, I made a deal or promise or whatever to the first person that emailed me to the show at aboutthatbw@gmail.com. That's my Mr. Movie phone voice, you know, at the end of the commercials when they go and plug or like run the credits. Yeah, that's what that was. So if you want to email the show, email us at aboutthatbw@gmail.com. But no, for real, I said that if you emailed me, basically the first person to email me and it has certain stipulations, whatever, I would buy you lunch if I got the Final Four teams correct. Yeah, as we can see, I did not. The Final Four was between South Carolina, Stanford, Louisville, and UConn. And you're probably aware that South Carolina won their second national championship. So congrats to the Gamecocks. Congrats to Dawn Staley. Congrats to the fans of the program known as the FAMs. Congrats to the state of South Carolina as a whole. And Dawn made history as becoming the first black head coach, male or female, to win two national championships. So big shout out to her and for what she's been able to do there in Columbia, South Carolina. The Final Four was a really amazing experience. Outside of the cold, everything was pretty good. There were some nice food spots there. So shout out to all of you all who sent me recommendations on places to visit to eat. That lobster roll at Smack Shack. Chef's kiss was delightful. I went to Sushi Train. I went to Sushi Train 3 times while I was in Minneapolis. I was there for 6 days and I went 3 times. Literally 3 times. I got a chance to see Jasmine Sullivan. I went early, so I love Jasmine Sullivan. So it was right on time that actually she was having a show there the week of the Final Four. So I just went a couple days early so that way I could be able to see her because the tickets down here were insane. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm not about to pay that. So I was able to find me a good little ticket up there in Minnesota. And but yeah, the Final Four atmosphere was amazing. The coaches, the other media members, had a chance to meet a lot of people who I've been interacting with on social media for the past, 2 years since we've been stuck in the house, quote unquote, stuck in the house over the panorama. And so it was fun getting the chance to finally see them in person and to mix and mingle with people and, you know, just to chop it up. Had some good times. The food was good. The drinks were good. The games were amazing. And I just want to say, yo, first of all, Bree Bill did what needed to be done in the first game against Louisville. Bree Bill did what needed to be done against Haley Van Lith. Like, sis was swatting shots and driving to the basket and getting steals and rebounds. Like, sis was doing her thing. Obviously, Destiny and Aaliyah, Victoria Saxton, Zaya, everybody, the entire team. And for UConn versus Stanford, most people had Stanford winning that game, but UConn was able to handle business in advance to their first national championship game since 2016. And so Paige had an amazing game. Aaliyah Edwards, I think that was the game between the post players during that game. But, yo, Paige was cooking as well. Paige was cooking. I think she probably went off for like 24, 27. I can't remember the exact points she had, but she, you know, they did what needed to be done against Stanford. And then in the national championship game, South Carolina came out swinging. They withstood the runs between that UConn was making, but South Carolina came out swinging, and they were able to just, you know, wire to wire, take it on in and, you know, win their second national championship. Shout out to Destiny Henderson. Aaliyah Boston got the most outstanding player of the Final Four of the tournament. But Destiny Henderson, that championship game, she had her fingers all over it. Points, assists, steals, like she, you know, her defense on Paige, like sis was their senior leader that night. And shouts out to her. Shouts out to the program once again. Shouts out to Dawn, basically, in the post game, you know, given that moment. And I'm pretty sure my guests will be talking about that as well. But shouts out to Dawn saying, you know, how she just wants to really elevate, you know, black content creators and sports journalists for women's basketball. And she's going to send us a piece of the net, y'all. She's going to send us a piece of the net. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get my little piece. And if you know anything about, if you know anything about Dawn and what she's been able to do there, and or what she has done, you know, when she's won these games, you know, obviously, you know the story. It's been played over and over and over so many times. What, starting probably in 2017, right after they won their first one, you know, Carolyn Peck, you know, how she started that tradition. I won't say tradition, but how it was initially passed to her. She got a piece of net, and how she passed it on to Dawn because she felt like Dawn was just right there. And so Dawn was, you know, having this time going back and forth, who's going to get a piece of net. So what she did was she passed it on earlier before the start of this season. She decided to pass that net on to all of the black head coaches in women's basketball, and everyone got their piece of the net. And it was just like it was dope. It was a dope feeling. And she said, you know, with this one, she's going to give it out to the black journalists. And I appreciate that, because she was like, yo, y'all going to see these people. Y'all going to hear these people. Y'all going to read their stuff and support them and elevate them. So shout out to Dawn for that. Always a class act. And I just really, really appreciate her for, you know, what she's done. So, you know, now that means that, you know, the college basketball season is over. And so those players have, you know, they had the 48-hour turnaround. If you were playing within the Final Four, you had a 48-hour turnaround from the day of your last game to enter your name into the draft. You had to relinquish your actual eligibility because, you know, for the next few years, they're going to have to go through that process, because everyone who was in school at the start of the 2020 to 2021 season was granted an additional year of eligibility. And so Destiny Henderson, Kristen Williams, Evina Westbrook, Olivia Nelson-Adota, Lexi Hall, and Anna Wilson, and Emily Inksler, they all declared for the draft. I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. I went off the top of my dome. So I think those are everyone who was playing in the Final Four who decided to declare for the draft. And so those individuals will very well possibly hear their names be called. Anything can happen, but they will hear their names be called tomorrow. And yeah, so it's been a fun and amazing college basketball season. I was able to go around to a lot of the programs. This year I got to Maryland. I did South Carolina. I did Eastern Carolina. I did Duke, North Carolina State. I went to Portland. I went to, where else did I go? Oh man, I'm drawing a blank. Where else? I went to some other schools as well. I went to Louisville. Did I go to South Carolina? I didn't get a chance to go to South Carolina State, but I went to quite a bit of schools, and next year I'm definitely going to go to a lot more. So you'll be seeing Beat Terrell and Made for the W on your campus, whatever. But I'm really excited. You know, I always wanted to have an emphasis, especially on the mid-major schools. So I'm getting out to all of those programs, a lot of those programs. I'm not going to say all, because you mean, you know, I'm getting out to a lot of those programs next season. And I'm just really excited about the growth of women's basketball. And I'm going to do my part to help grow the game as much as possible. But yeah, the draft is coming up. It's going to be held in New York tomorrow. And so, you know, a lot of your favorites will hear their names be called. And there's a lot of talk, you know, about who's going to go first, who's going second, who was invited, who wasn't invited. So that's what I want to do. Coming up next, after this little short break, I'm going to go get me a little drink or something like that. And then I have a special guest, Christina Williams, and we're going to talk about her start. And then we're going to also talk about the mock draft and give some of our predictions on who we think is going to go where. So buckle up, go get you a drink or something too, and I'll be back right after this. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed that break. We are back with About That, and I have someone who I am so happy for everything that she's doing, Miss Christina Williams, the breaker of all things breaking news and founder of Girls Talk Sports TV. How are you, Christina?
Hey, Terrell, what's good? So excited to be on About That. Finally.
Finally, right?
All is well. I'm glad we could do this.
Right. I thank you for being on here. And obviously, you know, we're always giving you your flowers for everything that you do when it comes to, you know, just women's sports in general. You are definitely a trailblazer. And it's been about 2 years, I think, almost 2 years that I've had a chance to know you. Actually didn't get a chance to meet in person. What? Until last summer, I think.
Yep.
And it was like an instant connection.
All-star or finals? It was one of those things.
All-star.
We met before that.
Atlanta. Yes. Oh God, that was a night.
It started raining.
Atlanta was in like this crazy rainstorm at the time. Power outages everywhere, yes. Like from north to south. So yeah, so been almost a year since we met in person, but the connection was just there immediately, and you've always been someone that I always pinpointed and like, yo, I love what she's doing, and you know, have basically been an inspiration and a mentor to me. So I appreciate that. You know, no mushy stuff just because you're here. Like, I'm telling the honest truth. And you know, I always tell you. So I just I guess, you know, we're going to make a little quick interview, you know, because we got to let everybody know who you are. So go ahead and do a quick introduction. Then I'm going to get into a few questions.
Hey guys, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Christina Williams. I am the founder of Girls Talk Sports TV, which is a social digital platform that covers all things WNBA and women's basketball. I got my start in the sports media world in 2018, created my own platform. Long story short, I was looking for opportunities in sports as a reporter and wasn't getting any callbacks, was getting rejected left and right. And so instead of just sulking or waiting for someone to give me an opportunity, I just went out and did it myself. I'm from Harlem, New York, and it's all about hustle where I'm from. So just got into hustle mode, created my platform, married my two passions of sports and storytelling. I'm a journalist by trade, went to school, have a degree in journalism. But also basketball's always been a part of my life since I was a kid. So it's fun. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like work for me. It just feels like, you know, doing what I love. And so I'm having a lot of fun creating content, doing some reporting. And then in the last year and a half or so, been recognized by Forbes Under 30, hashtag sports. My former college just informed me that I'm like one of their 40 under 40 alumni, most influential, which is kind of crazy because like Lin-Manuel Miranda went there, Vin Diesel, like so many famous people. And then like, they're like, you're one of the 40. I'm like, whoa. Okay.
Go ahead and drop the name of your high school right quick. Let everybody know.
Oh, well, high school is different. That was my college.
Drop the name of your college, my bad.
But I went to LaGuardia High School in New York, which was like the Fame school. So if you guys ever watched the Fame movie, they made one, I think, in the 80s or 70s, and then they remade it in 2009 with the Tory Naughton from Power. So like, yeah, I went to that art school. I'm a visual artist also by trade. I draw, I paint, I do it all, do ceramics, glass blowing, whatever you want. Like, that is a side of me that I don't really show, but like, yeah, I'm a visual artist also. And so like, going back to who I am, founder of Girls Talk Sports TV, made Forbes Under 30, but really just, like I said, marrying those two passions of sports and storytelling for me You know, I want to be a reflection of the league that I cover. So like amplifying Black stories is definitely important to me. But also, like you said, mentioned earlier, like being a mentor, helping others who are on the same path as me. So I participate in various mentorship programs through the Forbes Under 30 network, but also in my own network, I coach youth girls basketball here in New York City, also a youth mentor and helping college students as well in media. So I do a little bit of everything. I don't know.
Where do you find the time?
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, for me, it's all about making that impact and difference. So that's who I am.
And something that you talked about, you mentioned, you said that you love what you do and it doesn't feel like work. And I'm a firm believer in that. I've always been taught that if you love what you do, it'll never feel like work. And really? I can definitely say that is true. That is true. I always tell people, obviously I'm newer to the whole world of sports media, but I remember my first time covering WNBA All-Star and I was dog tired. Like tired, my feet were burning, like not even burning, they were yelling. This was back in 2019. And as tired as I was, I wanted to keep going because I was enjoying it. And when I got to the room, I basically crashed and I was like, let's do it again. That's how I knew I was on that right path and that I actually enjoyed this, because in the middle of me being like exhausted, I wanted to keep going and I was like, I love this. And so it's been amazing. So obviously, you know, getting the chance to see what you do, you know, taking bits and pieces, like, yo, like I want to do those things. So, and you talked about what prompted you to start Girls Talk Sports TV. When did you know that this was the space for you?
I mean, I'm still trying to figure out. just keeping it real.
No, that's I appreciate the transparency.
It's about that. You know, like, you know, being in the space has its highs and lows, right? I'm someone who is an independent creator. I'm not a part of a major corporation. I don't have a major corporation backing me. So every day I'm faced with challenges and it feels like I'm fighting for my life literally every day. Although people are like, you don't have to do that. You've made it. I'm like, no, I have not made it anywhere yet. You know, there's still a long ways to go, but I guess to answer your question, when did I feel like I was a part of this space? For me, just coming from an aspect of playing sports, I guess, like in the sense of having a team or people around you who rally behind you, I didn't really feel that until when I started Girls Talk Sports TV. I started it with people I went to school with, like on the creative side. I had my girl Marsha Reed, who I went to film and media classes with, Miguel, Ari, my friend Kelly. So I started Girls Talk Sports TV and still have like a team with me, but like I started it in that sense and felt like, okay, this is always going to be a place of community. But in the sports industry, in the professional sense, still trying to find my footing and where I belong in this industry, even after 3 years, even after making the Forbes Under 30, being a newsbreaker is something I feel like every year I'm like growing and evolving in this space. And so like now, you know, people, you know, I'm a newsbreaker now, right? Mm-hmm. So I started as a content creator, now I'm a newsbreaker. So it's a different ball game. So trying to figure out how to navigate through that. But, you know, the community in and around sports, they always make me feel like I belong sometimes, you know?
I wish I had like one of those buzzers, like duh, 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 when you say, you know, you're a newsbreaker, because yes. You're not gonna just skirt past that and like drop a little thing. Nah, like people come to you when they want to know something. They come to you. Like we gonna get an official name. You got an official name for that?
Not yet, but
I've seen some names floating around. Kay called it. Christina called it.
They say
K bomb.
Shout out to Muffin. I think Muffin made that up.
But Christina called it.
Yeah, I think she made that up.
Okay, well,
yeah,
shout out to you, so. Muffet. And if you know Muffet, you already know what it is. That's Muffin is. Muffin, yeah.
Look, I don't know where Ty Harris is going after doubt. I don't know.
I love it. She's going to hear this and she's going to definitely have something to say. So I love it. Now you're talking about building community and, you know, being in this space. So speaking of that, who, I guess, were your inspirations, or who, I guess, will you look at and say, yo, these are some people that I've been able to work with that kind of serve as your mentors, if there's any.
people I've worked with that served as my mentor, people that I watch. Well, I'm from New York, so like Good Morning America, watching New like York, Robin Roberts. I mean, which is so crazy, right? Like I grew up in New York. Every morning before I would go to school and stuff or work, whatever, I used to have the TV on Good Morning America watching Robin Roberts.
Okay.
So like, I remember in the 2019 finals, we were in Connecticut and I'm doing like the pregame content stuff. And, you know, they have the celebrity sitting in the front row. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, let me shoot Robin in the front row. So I stopped. I was like, hey, can I take a picture of you? And she's like, how about you get in the picture? And I was like, I was like, me get in the picture? Like, I'm working. And she made me take a picture with her. I'm glad she made me do that because it just brought everything full circle. But also what inspired me too was seeing Shannon Bobbitt growing up in Harlem. She's someone who played under Pat Summitt, played with Candace Parker at Tennessee, got drafted by the Sparks and had a WNBA career. But just seeing her in the neighborhood, beating all the neighborhood boys and then going to the professional level, that was inspiring to know that basketball can change your life in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question again, because I always go off on a tangent, but there's many people who inspired me. My grandmother, my mom, and then in the sports world, Sharon Bond from Dykeman Basketball. She's a mentor to me right now. While I was starting Girls Talk Sports, she gave me an opportunity to be an intern at Dykeman. And if you've ever been to Dykeman Basketball in the summertime, it gets a little crazy. So imagine you being like a reporter in that environment. It was mm-hmm. like throwing someone into the deep end and be like, hey, like be a reporter.
Go swim.
But like, that's where you learn how to be tough and you earn your stripes because, you know, being like a sideline reporter at Dykeman really helped me to learn a lot and just be in that atmosphere. But also they call it the red carpet of street ball. So you have, you know, elite athletes coming out in New York City summers. Like if you're in New York in the summer, you have to stop by Dykeman to like watch a game or two. But Miss B is who they call her. She's just someone who's older who always gives me like career advice. She listens to me like whenever I need to vent, gives me great pointers about how to navigate through the industry, how to carry myself. So yeah, she's one of my mentors in the industry.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, speaking of the industry, obviously the industry that we cover, mm-hmm. Give me your Final Four experience because I talked to them before this about my experience. What was it like being at the Final Four?
In Minneapolis,
yes.
Being in Minneapolis last weekend was definitely an experience. I didn't spend the whole week. I was just like, okay, I'm just going to go on the weekend because I had prior commitments to do in New York. So I flew there for the weekend and it was, first of all, it was very cold. The weather was...
Now that's interesting. You're talking about it's cold because you're in New York.
I know, but it's a different type of cold in Minneapolis. It was snowing. Like one day it started snowing.
You're right.
So, but all in all, like my experience in Minny was great. Like it felt like a reunion of some sorts because a lot of the people that were there I hadn't seen in a few years because of the pandemic. So, I mean, I saw you. I always see you around. But I'm saying, like, other people.
No, I feel you.
Like, it was a chance to reconnect. But also, it was really my first time seeing South Carolina play in person. Because we were all planning throughout the panel. Like, we're going to go do a group trip to see South Carolina.
Yeah.
So, you know, to be able to see them play in the flesh, like, up close and personal. It was like, mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. Like, now, of course, you watch the games on TV, but to be able to really see that and witness history, mm-hmm. it was great. And then, you know, we had that moment in the presser during the title game.
Oh, gosh.
That, you know, I'm very vocal speaking about, like, you know, first of all, shout out to South Carolina for winning the national title.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Dawn Staley made history by being the first Black head coach, man or woman, to win mm-hmm. two titles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just witnessing history, I guess it hasn't registered yet to me. Like, oh, my God, like, where are we talking about this years to come? Like, this is the very moment where it's like, okay, this space, we're entering into the Dawn Staley era of basketball. Mm-hmm. And, like, South Carolina is going to be the standard moving forward. You know what I mean? Like,
right, I feel you.
Crazy to wrap your head around that. But back to that press conference moment.
Shout out to her for making sure that she said she wanted to elevate Black voices and we're going to get us a little piece of the net. Shout out to her.
So Coach Staley opened up by saying, you know, she gave a piece of the championship net to former coaches and that she then wants to, at some point, give a piece of the championship net to journalists who elevate the game, Black journalists who elevate the game. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, me and B. Terrell, we raised our hand to have follow-up questions and wasn't called on for about 40 minutes in a press conference, like literally being skipped over. And I felt like it was, you know, may have been done on purpose. And then in the last 5 minutes, we were finally called on, and B. Terrell asked this question. It was answered. And then it was my turn. Mm-hmm. I was called on. She said,
sitting
I was
right next. Beside me.
Right beside B. Terrell, I have the mic in my hand, and this woman snatches the mic out of my hand as I'm getting ready to talk. This white woman snatches the mic out of my hand as I'm ready to talk. And I just felt like in that moment, my power was taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a reporter, like your mic is, you know, one mic, your mic. And it was snatched away from me, and she tried to give it to another reporter who was in front of us. And it really made me angry in the moment, but I was like, I'm gonna keep it professional and just breathe. I know Judy Gaston had her phone out, and she like took some pictures of the moment. But it was like, we had waited over 40 minutes to first be called on, literally like raising one hand. And it's just like, this is the microaggressions that Black people have to face in this industry. And in that moment, I felt like a slap in the face, like how Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. I felt like I got slapped in the face in that moment, because it was like, yo, like, one, we've been sitting here respectfully, you know, graciously waiting for our turn to speak. And then when it's my turn to speak, you snatch the mic out of my hand. And then once they realized the optics of what just happened, they were like, oh, no. I meant to call, like, it is her turn, when you already said it was my turn to speak. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at that moment, I went away with the initial question that I had, and had to ask Don, you know, about diversity in a newsroom, because, you know, all of the people who mainly filled the room were white men. Mm-hmm. And so, like, just seeing that, it's just like, this is a visual representation of everything that I'm building my platform to fight against. And so it was a moment for me to experience that in Minnesota. But all in all, it was a great experience to see, you know, other creators, other journalists who 3 years ago, you know, we were all grinding out, you know, hard, and just to see our growth, you know, other creators of color, other reporters, analysts, you know, to see everybody in their element doing their thing. It made me happy to see Monica Vignut on the broadcast team in different events, to see you, our, you know, everybody that was there. It was like, yeah, we really did that.
Yeah,
we are doing it.
It was special, definitely. And it, oh, especially coming off of being robbed of the New Orleans experience in 2020, I think that was going to be a special one. I was excited because that was going to be like my first full year of covering or in sports media. And so I was looking forward to, one, yes, obviously New Orleans, but then two, you know, just to be able to mingle with everyone. But I feel like obviously everything happens for a reason. And I was better prepared, fast forward a few years, than I think I would have been in 2020. So yes, but like you said, all in all, it was a great experience. Don't let that happen again when you're snatching our mics, because we're not talking about that anymore. Like,
listen,
that was wild. I had to do a little.
You had on a yellow jacket.
You can't miss me. I'm the highlighter.
People were stopping me after the press conference saying, yo, who is your friend with the yellow jacket? So if they noticed you from 50 feet back, I mean, come on.
Exactly.
And it's just like, at some point, you know, people, the powers that be, they got to stop playing in our face. Like, have to.
Altogether.
You know what I mean? Just have to, because literally calling on the same people 3 and 4 times and just purposely skipping people, like, how does that grow the game in any way?
I agree.
And especially for a South Carolina press conference where the independent media and creators of color have been the driving force, when the big media ignored them up until this point.
That's true.
It was the fam and the independent media who were the driving force of getting them that national coverage when big media was bashing or not even paying attention to them. But to completely ignore someone like you, B. Terrell, who was like one of the leaders in covering South Carolina, is like,
I'm just grateful that I'm saved because I want to cuss. But you know what? That's it. We're gonna leave Minneapolis there. We're gonna leave the Final Four there.
But it was an overall good experience.
Yeah, overall great experience.
When that mic was snatched out of my hand, it just made me feel a type of way because
it shouldn't have happened, but
it was my turn to speak.
Mm-hmm. And you handled you handled it really well. You handled it really well. Thank you. I can definitely say that. Now, so since we are obviously, you know, you are the newsbreaker of all things newsbreaking for women's basketball. You know what's coming up tomorrow? Tomorrow, the WNBA draft.
Yes.
Everyone has already had a chance to hear if this is their first time being introduced to you, they've had a chance to hear your background. So we're about to put that to the test and we're going to let you drop some nuggets out here. And we're going to both, you know, talk briefly, I'll say, about the first round. We're just going to do the first round. We understand that there are over 100 entrants into the WNBA draft this year.
Okay.
You know that as of right now, for those of you that may not be as aware, there are 36 draft spots. All 36 may not make the team, but there are 36 spots. 12 individuals have been invited to the WNBA draft, which will be held in New York.
108 people declared.
And 108 people have declared. So we're going to start. And I'm excited because if you've been following me, you know why I'm excited for the first spot. I'm going to proclaim this right here. I've already been doing it on Twitter. Probably for the past year, but I think the 2022 WNBA's finals champ, Atlanta Dream. Yes, I'm going ahead and claiming that right now. Don't just get used to me saying it. The Atlanta Dream acquired the first overall pick, and they traded with Washington. They moved down. Basically, they traded their third pick and the 14th overall pick to the Washington Mystics to acquire Atlanta, to acquire the number one pick. So, Christina, I'm going to let you go first. Mm-hmm. Who do you feel is going number one? Because we've seen some varying reports. We've seen some different opinions on who should be number one. But who do you think is going number one?
If we're talking best player to go number one, first of all, I think it's a toss-up between Nalissa and Ryan.
We don't know toss-ups.
But I do think that Ryan Howard would be the number one pick to Atlanta. For me, she's the most league-ready of the bunch. Mm-hmm. She's someone who can transition very well into the pros. She's an efficient scorer. Mm-hmm. She is an All-American player. She has that size and athleticism to adapt right away and to help the Dream right away. Mm-hmm.
I like how you said that, help us right away. It made it seem like we need a lot of help. We are going to be the champs.
Listen, don't know about y'all being the champs, but I do think that, you know, Dan, for me, the Dream didn't do so well in free agency, but, you know, they have a chance to redeem themselves by trading that pick with Washington to get the best player in this draft. When we talk about needing immediate help, Ryan Howard is someone who can potentially be the franchise player for that team and help out right away.
Do you think she's a starter right away?
Do I think that Ryan can start right away? I do.
I think so.
I think she can start. She has the three ball. She's an efficient shooter. And so I think that's all qualities and characteristics that the Dream need in terms of their roster build out. Of course, they still have more work to do. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about someone who can make immediate impact out of this draft class, it's definitely Ryan Howard.
Okay. All right. And I agree. No rebuttal, anything here. I agree. All right. So number two, a team that has, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 4 picks in the first round.
Yes, they do.
Indiana Fever.
Yeah, so like I said, it was a toss-up between 1 and 2. I said Ryan was going number one. Nalissa's definitely going number two because the Fever needs everything. Like, they literally need help everywhere.
They need more than the Dream.
We're talking about the next best player available. It's definitely Nalissa. She is one of 5 players in the country who averaged 20 and 10 in her senior season. She's an efficient scorer. She can finish at the basket. She can be an elite 4 player, like playing the forward. She can be a forward. She can run a small ball offense. And I think that she's versatile on defense and offense. And so we're talking about the Fever. If I'm the Fever, I would choose Melissa before I choose a guard or a wing player. So like I would snatch her up at 2 and then use the other picks to get like a wing and a guard. So I think that Melissa goes number 2.
We thinking the same thing so far. I like that. You know, we're on the same page. Okay. I think we're probably both going to think the same for number 3. Who do you have going to the Mystics?
Well, it's kind of written, right? I mean, even if you look at the kind of marketing around the draft, it says it's being headlined by Howard, Smith, and Austin.
Yeah.
So number 3 is definitely going to be Shakira Austin going to Washington, in my opinion. I know people joked about the Coach Yo on Twitter Spaces and saying maybe Coach T.
Shout out to the committee.
Shout out to them. Maybe he heard some of the takes and wanted to trade that pick. But Shakira Austin, she's 6'5", right? She's tall. She's someone who could score in the paint. She has a mid-range game. She's a great defender, one of the best defenders of this draft class.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, Washington can definitely take her in terms of, we don't know where Elena Delladon is going to be at the start of the season in terms of her health, right?
Right.
And so you want a player like Austin to get in there and make an impact right away. And then Washington, they have, you know, they did great in free agency. They also have Alicia Clark coming back. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know,
they still got Maisha.
Right. So, you know, adding a player like Austin to the mix will definitely, you know, align with the culture of an identity of that Mystics team. Right.
And she gets to go home.
Right. Right. And there's nothing better than a homecoming. You got Tiana Hawkins coming back, her homecoming
Wait
as
a minute.
Well.
Everybody's okay. Cause Elena's not far from, I don't think Delaware is that far from DC. Tiana Hawkins is home. Shatori Walker Kimbrough, I'm not sure if she's from there. I know she's played there.
It's a homecoming for a lot of these players on the Mystics. And so, you know, she will fit right in, like I said, to that culture of the team, the identity of that team that Coach T wants to bring and probably help them bring them back into a playoff contention team. Don't think the Mystics will win the championship in 2022, but definitely adding a player like Austin could definitely bring them back into postseason contention.
So you see them in the playoffs?
I do. Because like you have, they did pretty good in free agency. You know, had some hiccups last season due to injuries.
Took my Elizabeth Williams. The dreams. That's more.
Yes, E. Will got E. Will. So you know, I definitely think the Mystics can make, you know, postseason noise.
All right, so because you mentioned something, and I don't want to put pressure on them, and I haven't seen anyone say this, and I know they're different players, but you remember how this draft has basically been advertised, like you said, Austin, Howard, and Smith.
Yes.
Do you think, I don't want to be putting targets on anyone, but you remember that 2013 draft where you had the 3 to C with Griner, Diggins at the time, and Delanoy? Do you think that possibly we could be looking at, you know, 3 future champions or, you know, all-stars, Olympians? Because I haven't seen in recent memory, I don't remember a draft that was advertised with the big 3 or the top 3.
3 headliners.
Right.
I mean, this top 12 even, right, is such a deep 12. I mean, last year's draft class was kind of, but, you know, this one, you know, it could go kind of any way after the first 3 picks. And so I think that we do see future champions and Olympians. I mean, Melissa is someone that I've been watching Sid for a while now, watching her game, even as a freshman when she won that championship with Baylor and how she stepped up in a major way.
Yeah.
Their game continues to grow and get better, right? And so at the professional level, with their athleticism and size, I feel like all 3 of these top 3 picks can definitely, you know, thrive in the WNBA and transition very well.
Okay. So now we're going back to another Fever pick. Now, this is where it's, now I won't say a free fall, but it's like, okay,
it kind of,
you take like everybody, like who, I mean, you can take anyone here. So who are you taking at 4?
So if we're talking best guards available, right? If we're talking wing players, I'm going with Kirsten Bell. You know, she's averaged 23.5 points a game, shooting very efficient, or I think over 60%. And she can play multiple positions. So if I'm the Fever, if I'm Lynn Dunn, right? After I got my big or my number four player, and Melissa Smith, I'm going to go with a wing and Kirsten Bell.
Okay. I can see that. Bell is
Or Nia, which is she's a three, sorry, or Nia, a guard, but I would go with
Michigan Bell. State?
Yeah. I would go.
She can light it up.
I would go. Yeah. I think the Fever will choose her, at the, wait, we are what, pick four, five, six,
at four at, now.
They have six pick, right? Or seven?
They got the six again.
They have the six. So I think that they will choose both Bell and Clouton. But they'll, if I'm Lynn, I'm going for Bell first and then going for the guard and Clouton, because that court with Kelsey Mitchell, like, that would be ridiculous. Number one, like, she's a shooter, shoot the lights out. She's small, but, you know, she's an efficient guard. Yeah. So, like, I would go with the wing player and Bell, someone who can shoot really well outside the arc, someone who is a great kind of like two-way player, an efficient scorer, because the Fever needs scoring to help, yes. You know, they got rid of Tierra McCowan, you know, no more Kaiser, you know, like, so.
Yeah, we're Fever definitely rebuilding. Going for size. I forgot, because Lavender's gone.
But they have Bernadette. Allen's
gone. Right. They got Bernadette. They got Elena Coates. Oh, yeah. They
go. So they need guard. They need scores, right?
Yeah,
and they need some players scoring. Who can play. So if I'm taking Nelissa and she can play the four position, like number four at the forward, then I'm thinking, okay, what else do I need? What else do I need? You need a guard. You need a wing player. So I'm going Bell. And then at six, I'm picking Nia if I'm Lynn.
All right. Now, your local team, team, go ahead to the Nia.
Because you're rebuilding for the future, right?
That's true. That is true, though.
And so I'm picking Nelissa, Bell, and Nia. That's three solid players from this draft. You're talking about help right now. Now, I don't know how Bell and Nia will translate to W. They probably won't start off at a fast start, like a player like Nelissa probably could right at the court. Right. But, you know.
There's the opportunity there.
Right. There's opportunity for them to grow, for them to play behind some of the guards on the Fever and learn from, you know, Bria Hartley type, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. They got Bria Hartley, Tiffany Mitchell, yes. Danielle Robinson. And
exactly. Kelsey Mitchell, they have good bets that they can learn from.
That's true.
But when we're talking about building the future of the team, I'm thinking, let's take Smith, Bell, Clouton. But let's go to the number five pick at the New York Liberty.
So I'm going to go with this one because I feel like, all right, the Liberty, they made the playoffs the last minute. They made the playoffs last year, and they want more. They've added Steph Dolson. You already got back Natasha Howard. You got Banaj Laney, Sabrina Ionescu. You got Sammy. So it's like, all right, we have you got the Rookie of the Year, Michaela Onyewede. I think defense is probably what they're going to look to bring.
And it's going to be Emily.
Yep. I feel like, and then boom, another homecoming. Right. I feel like it's Emily Engstler from Louisville.
Oh yeah. Like, without a doubt, it's definitely going to be Emily. She's someone that doesn't necessarily need the ball in her hand to be effective. She can shoot the three ball.
She's disruptive.
She's disruptive. New York needs more shooting.
Yeah.
Right. She's great size at six. I think she's like 6'1", 6'2". So I think that because she doesn't need the ball in her hand, you have players like Stephanie, like Sabrina, like Michaela, all these players, without a doubt, if I'm Sandy Brondello, as a coach, I'm like, okay, who can we choose? I'm going with Emily.
All right. I think that's a done deal there, Emily. Boom. Number six. You already said go with Cloud. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Now here's
toss up
seven. What is Dallas going to do? Who are they going to take? Ooh. Are they going to keep the pick? Are they going to trade the pick? Like, what is Dallas going to do? I thought that this is a pick that could potentially be on the move.
Yeah, I think
Dallas likes to keep all of their picks, but then Seattle doesn't have a first round pick. Maybe they draft for someone. I feel like Dallas or Seattle will possibly, I mean, excuse me, Dallas or Indiana will possibly be drafting for someone else. Like maybe trading it to Phoenix or trading it to Seattle. Who knows? So
yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And then, you know, Bella announced this week that she's taking the season off for personal reasons. So who do you then choose?
They don't need no more bigs. They already got the whole, almost the whole league of bigs.
If you go with Satu Sabali's sister, right?
Ooh.
I mean,
and they do like to reunite. They got a pair of Gamecocks. They got a pair of Notre Dame players. They got some Huskies. It might as well go ahead and get another Oregon player.
My only concern for her is her injuries. Like, she's injury prone, and maybe, you know, other GMs. But like you said, they can potentially trade this number 7 pick because Dallas, I mean, they have a great young core already. I mean, I don't know how the team will fare without Bella. But if you draft a player like Sabali, then, you know, you have a good player who can score on the inside of the paint and on the floor. And so maybe they trade her or waive her. We don't know. But I think that she's the next best available or fit for that team. Because they picked up McCowan, too. And they have Izzy. Oh, yeah.
They
waived Imani. So, you know.
They could probably use some more post players. Because they're, okay. So.
Here's they have another. Charlie still, but it's like, you know.
You got Charlie, Izzy, Sabali, Awak. And Awak. You got McCowan.
They could be drafted, like you said, for someone else.
Yeah, so look, I can't wait. I think 1 to 5 is kind of like, 6 on below.
Yes.
Like now we're at 8. What is Minnesota going to do?
So
here's
no
my
idea.
Thing. Do you... Obviously, we know this is Seals last year.
That's what I was thinking. You about to say what I'm about to say. Go ahead.
Are they going to, I don't want to say tank. I don't think, because they have too much talent to tank. Obviously, we'll see.
Tank for who?
Aaliyah. But do you get a big, because do you get a big this in this year's draft? Or do you possibly, you know, I don't want to say anyone's going to intentionally tank, but we'll see. Not Ray, but
I'm a GM. I'm taking for a week now.
Start the campaign now. But like, what bigs would they take? And I think that that's why a lot of the experts have Sika Kone going there. She's 6'3 from Mali, so that's some size. She's 19, so she's young. She'll probably have to catch up to the pro game or to the, you know, WNBA game. Like, because Renaya Davis, she was injured last year, so she'll have the chance to play this season. They got Ariel Powers, they got Kayla McBride. Who knows? Maya Moore may come back. Now, I doubt that's going to happen. But I feel like they're probably going to get a post player here because Demiris, is this also the last year of her contract? Because I think when she signed in the bubble, she resigned just for 2 years.
So she's a player. She's definitely a player I can see re-signing and staying with the Lynx.
And then longer. Not sure how long they're going to be without Fee.
Right.
If she plays at all this season. So do they get like that stretch player or do they get somebody in the post to kind of build for the future? Is this
well,
a draft
Sika is someone who has that professional experience, well-decorated player. And I think that she could thrive if they draft her to learn under one of the greatest centers of all time, Sylvia Fowles, and her final season. So I can see it happening. But you know, Cheryl Reeve, I mean, she's one of the greatest coaches and GMs of all time in the WNBA.
Yeah,
so.
She knows how. They know how to pull it out of people. I would say her and Mike Tebow. So okay, boom, number 9. Now this could be another pick that's on the move because the Sparks got a full roster, and I'm going.
Wait,
to
I thought
say,
the Fever had the 9.
Sparks got.
Oh wait, no, the Sparks. The Sparks. They have the 10. Sorry,
now,
Sparks
this, got the number. This is a team that, with its recent acquisitions, that a lot of people have as not just a playoff contender, but potentially a finals contender. Like, you got Liz.
Who had the Sparks as a finals contender?
Okay, maybe I'm just talking for me. Think about it. You got
Christy Tolliver.
You got the Ogumike sisters, both NECA and Shanae. You got Liz. You got Hollywood, Kennedy Carter. You got Katie Lou Samuelson, who Jordan Canada. So you have some players on there that have championship experience. Then you have some others that have deep runs.
Christy Tolliver, you have experience. You have experienced players on the Sparks.
Yeah. They bring back Jasmine Walker.
Like, I've said this in every platform that I've been on. Derek Fisher pulled a robbery heist in free agency. Yeah. People like to talk about his coaching, but as a GM, he can recruit players. You've seen it happen in WNBA free agency. You just listed a long list of talent that he was able to acquire. The Sparks had no money going into free agency and was able to, you know, finesse, you know, in free agency to get key players that can help them, you know, get back to what we know the Sparks franchise can do and be. And so
people to accept some pretty favorable contracts.
Right.
Exactly. Because Jordan Canada probably very well could have demanded more money elsewhere. But she decided to
go. And people sleep on Jordan Canada in her game. I don't know why. She's a two-time WNBA champion. Given the right opportunity and usage on the floor, people are going to see, like, she might have her best season yet right now. So, okay. So at number nine, I'm going to say, to add on to the young core, Despi Henderson to the Sparks. Because you don't know, one, if Christy is going to do her full contract. I mean, I know they said that, you know, her position with the Dallas Mavericks won't interfere with her last year on her contract with the Sparks. But, you know, if they need a backup guard or player, then I'm going with Henny, because she proved in her final game for the Gamecocks that, you know, she is that girl. Like, she scored a career high, what was it, 26 points in that game against UConn. She's crafty. She's a two-way guard. She's small.
She plays both sides of the ball.
Both sides of the floor. Like, you could not stop her in transition during that, if you watched the last game against UConn. But also, she gets it done on both sides of the court in a backcourt of Kennedy Carter and Destiny Henderson. That is, like, the future of the Sparks. I'm Derek Fisher, I'm going with Henny, thinking, yo, like, and then, like, Henny and Kimmy Carter's, their game is kind of similar with how crafty they are.
Yeah.
Like, reminiscent of, like, an Allen Iverson, Kyrie Irving, Cappy Pondexter type of game, like, infused. And so,
I didn't even think about Henny going to the Sparks, but because in the guard spot, they got Sykes, they got Taya, they got Jordan.
But we're thinking long-term, right?
Like, long-term, right.
This is Christy's last year on the Sparks in her contract. Why not draft Henny?
That's true. That's true. I didn't think about that. Okay. And you know, the Sparks, Derek, love to make, throw some surprises in there. So we're going to see.
Listen, all right. Why not?
Now, number 10, because this is where I had her.
You didn't have Henny at number 9, so who did you have going to the Sparks?
I honestly left that one blank. Left that one blank. I thought that so many people could slip in there.
Yeah, they could.
And I just didn't know what they were going to take, because I said that may have been a pick that they traded elsewhere, because they got a full roster.
They do.
Like, they got all the bigs, they got wings, they got the guards. So it's like, what would they keep, or who would they take, and would they keep them, if would they move them? Now, if that is a pick that was going to be traded to Phoenix or Seattle, I said for sure that it would have been Henny. Between 9 or 10, I had that it could go with Henny, because I still think that, one, Indiana wouldn't keep this pick. Probably this could also be on the move, as I said before, for someone else. And the reason why I said that is because, think about Sue. She stated that it's her last year. We don't know about DT yet. But those are both squads that may need their point guard of the future.
Right.
Because on the Storm, you have Sue and you have Epiphany Prince. I'm not sure if they signed another guard in free agency that I, off the top of my mind. So they are older guards. So I'm like, okay, they need probably some youth there. I mean, obviously they got Jewel, who can play point if need be, but like Henny would probably be there. And then if you think about Phoenix, if they traded for this pick, if DT retires, yeah, you got Skylar. But then who's going to be the backup? Just
Shea Patty. I can see Seattle and the Sparks kind of trading to pick off.
I honestly,
because one, in free agency, they already have that relationship of trading players. I mean,
yeah.
You saw, you know, what happened with the trades there. So they could trade Henny at number 9. The Sparks to trade that pick to Seattle and give them Henny. And
I really feel like Henny's going to end up in Seattle. Reunite her with Kiki. And then based off of Sue and DT doing the telecast, we're really big on Henny's game. So we could see. And I also think that these are the spots where someone who may not have been projected, possibly an Evina, Westbrook could pop up there because she has that guard experience. You know, she played point at both UConn and Tennessee. So could she be a sleeper to move up? Kayla Poynter. I'm going to call Kayla Poynter's name with his next pick to the Aces. So,
You said 9 and 10 is going to get traded.
I feel like 9 or 10 is going to be traded.
So I had Destiny to the Sparks, but that pick could get traded to Seattle, but still I still have them selecting Henny.
Henny, okay. Who you got for 10?
I would say Nas Hillman.
See, I had Nas with 11. The only reason I said Nas is because they already got Chiney, NECA, Amanda Zawibi, and Liz. And Jazz Walker is kind of a bigger body too, but she can shoot. Jazz was like the best shooter for Alabama. Jazz can shoot it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, maybe Nas wouldn't go there. I can see it happening. It'll be interesting because she obviously will need to, I think the report on her was 15 feet and that's it. So can she develop a jumper? Can she develop beyond the stripe, beyond the arc? And so I think she would probably need to go somewhere to probably work a little bit down low. That may be why the Aces could get her. Because
I have Alyssa Kunane.
Oh my God, Alyssa. So to take...
I'm choosing her if I'm the Aces.
Alyssa can shoot it too. So you got
she boom. Can. She's a versatile big. And we talk about Becky Hammon and what she was saying in those press conferences. She wants players who can space out the floor. Yeah. Players who are versatile. That 4-out-1-in. Now, although Alyssa struggles defensively at the 5 when we talk about other centers in the league at that position, Sylvia, right. Cambridge. She may struggle in some defensive matchups in and around the league, but if I'm thinking Becky Hammon and how she wants to move her offense, I'm thinking Alyssa is the best choice for the Aces.
Okay. Another name that has come up there has been one of the guards. Veronica Burton.
I had her at 12 to the Sun.
Henny's name has come up a lot too as a guard. Kayla Poynter, obviously she's Nikki Farkas's niece. So, you know, like, look out for your family, maybe.
Right.
You're going to get Kayla in there, get her a job. So, you know, keep that money in the family. But that could be interesting. Yeah, that 4-1 for Becky Hammon. Now I'm stumped. I'm upset now because, I feel like the from 6 below of the draft, anything could happen. And we saw in 2021, anything and everything happened.
Well, the Aces did also sign Kalani Brown to a training camp contract, but she's like a true center, right?
She's not pulling up and popping 03.
Right. I mean, she did it in Athletes Unlimited, but she's not going to do that on, you know, everyday game, you know? So that's why I say Alyssa to the Aces.
Okay. Who you got at 12?
Veronica Burton to Connecticut because, right, like, I think Ty Young was the one who said in her Athletes Unlimited interview about how when in college you may be a certain type of player, but once you get to the league, you know, certain coaches want you to use some of your strengths just for the betterment of the team. And so Burton is someone who is a good passer, someone who can set up a John Paul Jones, DeMonta Bonner on plays.
And Kurt likes defense.
Right. Exactly. She's a good passer. We look at, you know, what their team looks like next year in 2023. A few people will be free agents and Courtney Williams and a few others. And so guard wise. And so I say they draft her. They use her in practice as a body in training camp as well. In games, maybe she'll get a little playing time, but she's a great passer, defensive guard that can help and set up other players.
Okay. I see that. Oh, So I thought that maybe when you're thinking about defense, depending on how they envision Jonquel, Alyssa, Bree Jones, obviously, those three there, would they try to get maybe another 4 or 5 player? Would that be a Larella Kubai from Georgia Tech? Because she's she is.
But they also signed Joyner Holmes to a training camp. So that's why I'm saying Veronica Burton gets you some guards because you already have a lot of these games.
And they signed Taj Cole.
Taj Cole, exactly. So training camp is going to be super competitive, number one, for the Connecticut Sun. But Taj Cole is also a two-way guard. She's
so undersized. Just trade everything to Seattle and Phoenix and Chicago? Chicago got some space.
No, they ain't got no money.
You're right.
That's why Lexi's going to LA. Lexi Brown is going to LA.
She's in LA too. Oh my God. This first round. These first rounders.
Expand the W because it's so much talent in this draft class, not enough spots on teams. I mean, if someone trades a pick to Phoenix, right? Because I don't want to be the one to say it, but we don't know when Brittany Griner is coming back. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we don't know what that movement is going to be like.
Right. And to be honest, because of salary cap space, these picks will probably be more attractive because they're cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
As has been mentioned before, elsewhere, second rounder and third rounder contracts are more attractive because those are even cheaper than the first round, obviously.
Right.
We could see a lot of these rookies maybe make a spot because they beat someone in training camp, but because, hey, you were $10,000 cheaper than this person that got 3 years experience, or $30,000 cheaper. So, wow, this draft is going to be interesting. It's going to be one to definitely watch. I do think, as Christina has said, it is a deep draft, and
then some teams want to wait for the long haul, right? The next year and the year after.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about generational talent.
Yeah.
Coming into the W.
And that's when I definitely hope that we've gotten to the feet of, or gotten to that expansion part of the league. I'm hearing rumors, but we're going to see. Everybody's been hearing rumors about possible expansion, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But like you said, yeah, generational talent. You got your Aaliyah Bostons, your Rakia Paige Jacksons, definitely. your Paige, your Caitlins over the next 2 years, Zaya Cooks. You got those players coming in that are going to get a spot, So we just have to see what's happened. So, the draft is going to be fun. I'm going to be there. Christina's going to be there. We're going to be bringing you amazing content throughout our various outlets and channels. So, Christina, before I let you go, I know I've kept you a little bit already. Before I let you go, what do you want to say to everyone out there that's listening, and definitely tell them how to find you?
What I want to say to all those listening, one, support women's sports, and two, support independent creators, Black creators especially. Follow Girls Talk Sports TV on all social media. On Instagram, we're girlstalksports.tv. You can follow me for your latest breaking news on Twitter at Christina, that's with the KH. And then every Wednesday, I'm on Spotify Green Room, hosting Women's Sports Wednesday, where my co-hosts are the fans. And so you can join in on the conversation for the latest and greatest in women's sports. Thank you, Petero.
Thank you, Christina, so much for taking the time out to be here. And as always, I appreciate it. So I'm going to see you tomorrow at the draft, and we're going to have a good time.
Absolutely. See you at the draft, Petero.
Peace out. Well, okay, that's this week's show. So I want to say once again a big thank you to Christina for taking the time out of her busy schedule to grace About That with her presence. Well, she wasn't really here. So is this still her presence? So gracing About That with her voice. Haha, I like that. But no, seriously, thank you, Christina, for all that you do, all that you will do, and all that you have done. And yeah, I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to just chat with you a little bit. And, you know, let's see how those draft picks, what you think people gonna go. Let's see how that turns out. Obviously, the draft is tomorrow, so make sure you all tune in. This has been a very special episode on a big whopping happy Sunday, so hope you all enjoy. I'll be at the draft tomorrow along with Christina and other members of the media, and obviously the in-person draft pick. So hopefully have a chance to get some interviews for you all, some live footage from the actual draft that's going on. So I'll go ahead and incorporate all that into the episode for next week as well. So it's been a pleasure speaking with you all. As always, make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to subscribe to the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at It's B Terrell. That's ITSBTERRELL. And the show on Instagram and Twitter as well at AboutThatBW. And also, if you have any questions, things you want to ask me, ask future guests, things you want me to talk about, email us at AboutThatBW@gmail.com. So it's been a pleasure. Until next time, peace out. Ciao. Sayonara. Deuces.
It's your girl Mel, and you've been kicking it with B. Terrell on About That. And I'm going to need you to pull up every single week. But before you do that, make sure you subscribe, like, rate, and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, because it's going down each and every week. See ya!